Welcome to Enabled, the weekly program about people just like you who are dealing with issues of vision loss. The program is designed to encourage you through news you can use, inspirational stories, and interviews. I'm Nancy Zimmer, your host for Enabled. Thank you for joining me. Recently, I discovered that there is a lot of new information out there about glaucoma. So in this program, you'll hear about two new glaucoma medications, an easy way to administer those frisky eye drops. You'll hear about measuring your intraocular pressure at home, and lots more in this glaucoma update program. The first topic, the new medications. A link to this article was actually posted on the Reach Out Radio Facebook page by Ruth Finney a little while ago. It comes from the Vision Aware blog, and you can find it yourself. Good website, by the way, visionaware.org. The headline reads, "Two new glaucoma medications to enter the market early in 2018. This was written by Mary DePries from the Vision Aware blog. Glaucoma is a diverse group of eye diseases that leads to a characteristic form of damage to the optic nerve. Elevated eye pressure is the primary known risk factor for glaucoma nerve damage, and this is caused by a buildup of fluid known as the aqueous humor. In a healthy eye, this fluid provides nourishment to cells before flowing out into the bloodstream through a drainage system made up of the primary outflow pathway, which is called trabecular meshwork. This is the primary one for the aqueous humor to get out. And then they also have the secondary, the smaller uveoscleral pathway. When the drainage system is blocked, intraocular pressure increases can put a person at risk of developing glaucoma. Therefore, the mainstay of glaucoma therapy has been the use of eye drops that either decrease the production of the aqueous humor or increase the outflow in order to stabilize the intraocular pressure. And that is abbreviated IOP, intraocular pressure. Next section, after 20 years, major medical breakthroughs. Today's commonly used glaucoma medications were approved in the 1970s. Other medications with different chemical compounds followed. But until now, there had been no major medical breakthrough since 1998. With the FDA approval of two new medications, the first one is produced by Aerie Pharmaceutical, and it's called Ropressa. The second one is produced by Bausch & Lomb, headquartered here in Rochester, New York. They are now associated with Nicox, so Bausch & Lomb, Nicox. The name of their drug is Vyzulta. And in 2018, they say this promises to usher in a new era for glaucoma treatments. And I'll be spelling those. Aerie Pharmaceutical is A-E-R-I-E, Aerie Pharmaceutical. Their drug is Ropressa, R-H-O-P-R-E-S-S-A. Bausch & Lomb / Nicox is producing Vyzulta, V-Y-Z-U-L-T-A. And the article says Dr. Louis Kantor, professor of ophthalmology at Indiana University's School of Medicine, is not surprised at the excitement generated in the field as these medications emerge from the pipeline onto the market. Dr. Kantor served as the principal investigator in the clinical trials for both drugs at the university's Glick Eye Institute, which has long demonstrated a commitment to bringing novel therapeutic advances to glaucoma. Here's a quote, "The medications we have had until now have been great tools, but with the new ones, Ropressa and Vyzulta, we have some better options for patients whose needs were not being met." Next, we'll go into the two drugs in more detail. The first one is Ropressa. Once again, that's R-H-O-P-R-E-S-S-A, Ropressa. Ropressa, the generic contents are Nettarsudyl Ophthalmic Solution, 0.02%. This drug, Ropressa, reduces the IOP specifically by improving outflow from the trabecular network. This is a pathway from which most of the aqueous humor drains. Medications commonly used today target only the secondary drainage system, the uveoscleral pathway, or they reduce the aqueous production. Ropressa is a safe and effective alternative to medications that targeted the trabecular meshwork, but most were abandoned. 20 years ago due to adverse side effects. In addition, Rhopressa also has a unique advantage in treating normal tension glaucoma, which results in damage to the optic nerve despite only a slight elevation in intraocular pressure. Patients with this type of glaucoma have a much lower baseline for IOP, but current medications are limited in their ability to lower the eye pressure any further and to protect the health of the optic nerve. The added benefit of the Rhopressa eye drop is that it is used only once daily instead of requiring multiple applications in a 24-hour period. Dr. Cantor, and again, Dr. Cantor was on the research team for it. He's from the Indiana University School of Medicine Glick Eye Institute. Dr. Cantor recognizes that eye drops are not always easy to use, and trying to manage a routine involving a multitude of drops with different colored caps can be daunting. He says, hopefully, the simplified once-a-day treatment will encourage patients to stick with the prescribed regimen. The next drug we mentioned is Vyzulta. Again, it's V-Y-Z-U-L-T-A. Vyzulta's generic includes latanoprostene bunoid, 0.024%. This Vyzulta works to lower intraocular pressure by opening the uveoscleral pathway, much like the other prostaglandin analogs, such as Zolantin, Lumigan, Travatan Z, Zioptin. Those are the drugs that are currently in use. But an innovative component of this new drug, Vyzulta, is the presence of nitric oxide, which dilates blood vessels. Stabilizing eye pressure is critical to preserving vision, yet recent research has shown that an insufficient blood supply to the optic nerve may also contribute to the onset of glaucoma. Dr. Cantor once again explains by saying, many glaucoma patients have autoregulatory deficits, meaning that their systems are unable to regulate blood flow to the optic nerve. The drug Vyzulta works to lower pressure while simultaneously dilating blood vessels to improve that blood flow. There is even speculation that future clinical studies will prove that the medication has a neuroprotective effect, and that means it makes the optic nerve more resistant to damage. And the article concludes by saying there's been a renaissance in glaucoma research. Vyzulta and Rhopressa have arrived on a wave of new insights into the causes of glaucoma and other therapies. While scientists are confident that the medications are effective, they are still exploring the minutiae of how they work. The article ends with a quote, "The development of these new medications combined with the explosion in the surgical arena with micro-invasive glaucoma surgery seems to signal a renaissance in the field of glaucoma treatment." And this is a quote from Dr. Cantor. He continues and says, "Researchers, doctors, and of course their patients have cause to celebrate." Now, these two drugs, the new drugs, are both eye drops, as we mentioned. And this next little article, full of tidbits for you, comes from the newsletter from the Glaucoma Research Foundation. It's called GLEAMS. And the article within the GLEAMS newsletter is called "Auto Drop is a Real Eye-Opener." It's about putting the eye drops into the eye. Auto Drop is the name of the product. The article was written by Bernard Landau. An eye drop prescription for newly diagnosed glaucoma was accompanied by a simple, stunning little gizmo that totally resolved the issues that commonly occur when trying to deliver the drops into the eye and not onto the face. He says this clever invention takes the mess and the aggravation out of the self-administration of medication directly into the eye, and it has a companion device that controls the dose. So we're talking about auto drop and auto squeeze. Both the auto drop and the auto squeeze are products developed in England by a man named Owen Mumford, and he was working in collaboration with the Royal National Institute for the Blind. An eye drop guide is something you may have never heard of before today. It is a fascinating solution to a problem that can be annoying and even detrimental. This is one of those discoveries you will be sharing with your friends. It's really not unusual at all to have difficulty self-administering eye drops. The eye naturally blinks as the drop approaches, and it winds up on your eyelid instead of your eyeball. This eye drop guide is designed to override that reflex by holding still the lower lid and drawing the focal point away from the drop as it positions the bottle and steadies the hand for accurate delivery without waste. The bottle of drop, this is how you use it. The bottle of drop clips into your own bottle of eye drops, clips into the device called Auto Drop. And this can be used with its companion called Auto Squeeze to further enhance stability for patients with dexterity issues. The accurate delivery of medicine is essential for successful treatment. Now, this is not the only eye drop guide on the market, but it does seem to be a favorite. Consult your doctor or your pharmacist for advice on these products. Auto Drop, you can buy it yourself online. It's offered at Amazon, Walmart, and Walgreens. The retail price is approximately $5. The device Auto Drop and Auto Squeeze, both of them, can be easily cleaned and can be used on multiple bottles of eye drops. Or, at that price, you could give each dropper you use its own guide. So, a little tip for you on a new product that I'd never heard of, Auto Drop. Ask your pharmacist, ask your eye doctor. The next article, actually the whole newsletter, comes from Gleams magazine. The first article says home IOP measurements and continuous IOP monitors. Those are the two topics covered. They'll be talking about contact lenses and a home tonometer device, the thing that measures your glaucoma. This article was written by Dr. Jay Katz. If you are a glaucoma patient, it's important for you and your doctor to monitor your intraocular pressure, the IOP. Understanding how your individual pressure changes over time can help you feel confident that your treatment is working effectively. The next section covers why monitoring your IOP is very important. IOP fluctuates constantly between doctor's visits and even throughout your day. The more frequently your IOP is measured, the better overall picture your doctor will have of your eye pressure fluctuations. This may be helpful information for measuring the effectiveness of your treatment regimen. Currently, the most common approach to getting this information is to measure your eye pressure in the clinic at different times of the day over several visits. However, with recent advances in this field, eye pressure measurement is now feasible outside of the clinic setting. There are two that are going to be mentioned, smart contact lenses and the home tonometer device. The first one, smart contact lenses. As your eye pressure fluctuates, the curvature of the front part of the eye changes, which this smart contact lens can measure. This signals a wireless device that records the changes and indirectly shows eye pressure changes over time, which may correspond with the progression of glaucoma. The name brand that they're talking about is called the SensiMed Triggerfish sensor. These are smart contact lenses. And this SensiMed Triggerfish sensor has recently been approved in the United States by the FDA for monitoring eye pressure. SensiMed, SENSIMED, Triggerfish sensor, SENSOR. The next recent advance is the home tonometer device. It's called the iCare, the capital I, small letter C-A-R-E, the iCare home tonometer device has been available to European glaucoma patients since 2014. It is now available to patients in the United States. This uses a disposable probe to measure eye pressure and can be used up to six times a day. The home tonometer takes six rapid IOP measurements and then calculates eye pressure, and it stores this information in the device's memory. However, at this time, it's not yet clear how well patients can actually use the device or what use clinicians can make of the data that it provides. Our current diagnostic techniques provide adequate information for most patients. Further study will also help determine the role of this new diagnostic tool. The smart contact lens sensors and home monitoring devices are leading the advances in innovation for glaucoma. Tiny eye implants have also been developed by researchers that will enable patients to take daily or hourly measurements of their eye pressure, which would help their doctors to tailor more effective treatment plans. So that's another one, tiny eye implants. Further study will help determine when it is appropriate to use these new technologies. This article was written by Dr. Jay Katz, who's director of the glaucoma service at the Wills Eye Institute and professor of ophthalmology at Thomas Jefferson University in Philadelphia. Next, we come to an article from the Gleams newsletter called Spotlight on Research, Dr. Alfredo Dubra's Laboratory at Stanford. Now, they actually call this guy ELF, Dr. Alfredo Dubra, and it's ELF. To those of us who know him well. His article says, "My laboratory is focused on developing novel imaging techniques to use in combination with our adaptive optics ophthalmoscopes that we've developed as part of the Catalyst for a Cure biomarkers initiative. Adaptive optics is a technology that was originally proposed to look at the stars. We are using the same technology and applying it to the eye to capture sharp images of the retina. In fact, adaptive optics allows us to visualize microscopic detail almost as if you were looking through a microscope. In this way, we aim to detect glaucoma at a very early stage before vision loss actually takes place. The same instrument should also allow a more personalized treatment by revealing how each person responds to the adjustments in their medication. The key element here is detecting how the retina structure and health change as quickly as possible to minimize or even prevent further vision loss. An additional benefit of the technology that we are pursuing is that the non-invasive visualization of retinal structure and function at a microscopic level will lead to new discoveries that will help us understand what's really happening in this disease. We are taking advantage of the different skills that we have in the CFC consortium, their lab, the Catalyst for a Cure research, to interpret what we're seeing and evaluate its potential as a biomarker of glaucoma progression. Along with the development of this proof of principle instrumentation, we're also working on making the technology practical in clinical settings. Incidentally, most of this technology will advance the next generation retinal cameras in a clinical environment and thus have a positive impact in the diagnosing and monitoring of almost all conditions that affect the retina. Every day, every month, there are a lot of people who are being affected by glaucoma. And to me, this is the reason for the work I'm doing in the laboratory. We're not just trying to achieve some answer in terms of scientific curiosity, but our aim is to really help people who are suffering from this disease. So we have the same sense of urgency, and we're doing our best to focus on work that is going to be most beneficial for people who have glaucoma." Now, Dr. Alfredo Dubra is a PhD, is an associate professor of ophthalmology at Stanford University School of Medicine. The main goal of Dubra Lab is to develop non-invasive optical imaging methods for early detection and monitoring of eye disease. Alf Dubra is a member of the Catalyst for a Cure research team funded by the Glaucoma Research Foundation. The next article from this informative newsletter is Help for Glaucoma Patients Who Lose Their Vision. You and your eye doctor share the same goal in the treatment of glaucoma to preserve as much of your vision as possible, even if the disease progresses over time. For most glaucoma patients, treatments such as medication and surgery are effective, but in some cases, even with the best of care, patients continue to lose vision. In cases like this, the eye doctor continues to play an important role in patient care. The intraocular pressure still needs to be controlled in order to slow progression as much as possible. When your vision loss does occur, even though you trust your doctor's ability to provide you with excellent care, You may want to consider asking for a second opinion from another glaucoma specialist. A second opinion can be helpful for understanding your diagnosis and your potential options to reaffirm that your doctor is doing everything possible to prevent further vision loss. On occasion, a fresh look can turn up potential avenues of treatment that had not been considered. When talking with your doctor about other issues related to vision loss, it helps to have a friend or family member with you for the discussion. Your family member may think of additional questions to ask and then help to write them down and remember the tips and advice from the doctor. It's important to do your best to understand what your doctor recommends and take steps to get additional help if it's needed. When enough vision has been lost to make some activities difficult, there is help available from low vision specialists and from occupational therapists. People who have lost significant vision can still enjoy life, be active, and many can even continue to work with the assistance of various electronic devices. A home safety consultation can also help adjustment to living independently, safely, and productively with limited vision. This was help for glaucoma patients who lose their vision. It was written by Dr. Robert Stamper. He is a distinguished professor of clinical ophthalmology, and he's director emeritus of the glaucoma service at the University of California in San Francisco. We next have an article titled, Why Retinal Ganglion Cells Are Important in Glaucoma. This is written by Dr. David Calkins. The retina is a thin tissue at the back of the eye containing different kinds of nerve cells. Among these are retinal ganglion cells, RGCs, and they are particularly important in glaucoma because they are the cells that are damaged primarily by the disease. Retinal ganglion cells process visual information that begins when the light enters the eye, and they transmit it to the brain via their axons. These axons are long fibers that make up the optic nerve. There are over 1 million retinal ganglion cells in the human retina. They allow you to see as they send the image to your brain. Once these RGCs die, the retinal ganglion cells die, like in glaucoma, they are not replaced. Unlike peripheral nerve cells in other parts of the body, these ganglion cells are part of the body's central nervous system, which does not regenerate once they're damaged. Researchers are still studying how and why certain nerve cells lose their ability to function, or in some cases, we can say, turn themselves off. Doctors and scientists know that the increased intraocular pressure has a detrimental effect and that lowering the IOP can help preserve vision in glaucoma patients. They also know that preserving the retinal ganglion cells and their axons is necessary for sight. According to Dr. Harry Quigley from the Wilmer Eye Institute at Johns Hopkins, quote, ganglion cells are damaged by prolonged eye wall stress. This is the cause of damage to your vision in glaucoma. This means that the higher the pressure, the greater the chance for glaucoma. However, not everyone's eyes react to pressure in the same way. So that ends with a quote, eventually we hope to repair or even regenerate some of the visual system if it becomes damaged. This is according to Andrew Huberman, who's a PhD and a researcher at the Glaucoma Research Foundation. So now, put your feet up, have a cup of tea. Last article on the program today. A daily cup of hot tea may lower glaucoma risk. This was published late in December of last year from eurekalert.org. According to a small study published in the British Journal of Ophthalmology, drinking at least one cup of hot tea daily may be associated with a considerably lower risk of contracting glaucoma. However, if you drink caffeinated or decaffeinated coffee, iced tea, decaffeinated tea, or any soft drinks, it's just not found to create any difference to glaucoma risk. Although prior research indicated that caffeine has the ability to alter intraocular pressure, a study comparing the possible impact of caffeinated and decaffeinated drinks on glaucoma has yet to be carried out. The current study analyzed data from the 2005-2006 National Health and Nutrition Examination Survey in the U.S. This is a nationally representative annual survey, and this enrolled nearly 10,000 people. Really not a large segment. It included interviews, physical examinations, and blood samples designed to measure the health and nutritional status of U.S. adults and children. This study also included eye tests for glaucoma for 1,678 participants, among whom 5%, that's 84 adults, were identified with the condition. Using a validated questionnaire called food frequency, the participants were asked how often and how much they had drunk caffeinated and decaffeinated drinks, including soft drinks and iced tea, in the preceding 12 months. The data indicated that those who drank hot tea daily had a lower glaucoma risk than those who did not. After accounting for potentially influential factors like smoking or diabetes, hot tea drinkers were 74% less probable to have glaucoma. For coffee, caffeinated and decaffeinated tea, iced tea, and other soft drinks, no such associations were found. As the study was observational, firm conclusions on the cause and effect cannot be drawn. The study has also many limitations, like the small number of participants with glaucoma, lack of data on when glaucoma had been diagnosed, and lack of data on a few potentially influential factors, such as the size of your cup, the type of tea, or the length of brewing time. However, according to the researchers, tea contains antioxidants, as well as anti-inflammatory and neuroprotective chemicals, which are linked with a decreased risk of serious conditions, all of them like heart disease, cancer, and diabetes. Former research has suggested oxidation and neurodegeneration could be involved in glaucoma development. And of course, the researchers end with this disclaimer, further research is needed to establish the importance of these findings and whether hot tea consumption may play a role in the prevention of glaucoma. And I say, hey, it never hurts, right? And a very appropriate quote to end this program, where there is tea, there is hope. This is a quote from Sir Arthur Wing Pinero. He was a British actor and later became an important dramatist and stage director who lived from 1855 to 1934. Where there is tea, there is hope. Thank you for listening, and I hope you have a great week. You've been listening to Enabled, a production of WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. Our technical director is Maureen Rich, and I'm Nancy Zimmer. I hope you'll join me again next week for more updates and information and encouraging stories. If you'd like to hear this program again, you can listen to it at our website, wxxi.org.